Welcome to the Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise podcast. Physical and financial wellness tips for a happier you.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Today, we are on our fifth episode on stress. And so our topic today is how to change through mind and body. So Chelsea, yes. Do us a favor and tell us where we're at and how we got here.
All right. So if you haven't listened to our previous podcast episodes, we did a five-part series on stress. We started off talking about the financial stress, what stress is, and we had Melanie join us for that episode. And our second episode, we did what does stress do to the body, where we brought in Catherine and Carrie to tell us about the effects of stress. And the last three episodes, we really focused on how to change that. So we brought Catherine back to speak about changing stress with diet and nutrition. Then we brought Carrie back to talk about exercise and how to incorporate that in your life to reduce stress. And that brings us to our final episode where we brought Melanie back to speak with everyone. And she is going to tell us how to change and what you think about mind and body. So, Melanie, welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Great to have you. And if you can just recap a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Sure thing. So I'm Melanie Schmois, and I'm a certified life and weight loss coach. I tend to work with high performers, high achievers, athletes even, people that have like a really big job or career, but are finding themselves feeling really unfulfilled outside of their realm of work or their performance. So I come in and really help them on some missing mindset pieces oftentimes so that they can, you know, feel better and be really fulfilled in their personal lives.
And so that's, as we talked about, that's a perfect scenario for what we're talking about today, because you're very experienced with people who probably have a lot of stress in their lives.
Yes.
And you can help us with our listeners and how they can actually treat their own with their mind body application. Mm-hmm. So do we want to jump right in?
Yeah.
Let's do it. I'm ready.
Let's do it. So Melanie, will you tell us how stress affects your mind?
Yes. So I always like to tell people that short-term stress itself isn't necessarily so harmful. It's the chronic stress that's really the problem. You know, when we're in a regular state of feeling stressed out, I mean, really, honestly, it can kill brain cells. It can shrink the brain. Where I come in is it contributes to a lot of mental health issues. And some studies are saying memory is really affected when, you know, the body and the mind has to be under this constant state of stress. So it's really no joke. It can be really harmful.
And so something that I always say, and that's stress kills. We've said it before.
Yeah.
I mean, that's true, right? I mean, it affects you that way.
It really does. And, you know, not to be a downer, but it leads to people turning to drugs and alcohol, and, you know, suicide rates are up. So any of like the causes of death around despair are really, really high. So you're right. I mean, stress can indirectly and directly hurt us.
Yeah. Right. So let's say that people have a situation where they've uncovered they've got the symptoms of stress, right?
Yeah.
We've already talked about, you know, how they can combat that with nutrition, how they can combat that with physical exercise. What else can they do from a mental standpoint, from mental capacity? How can they deal with stress? And potentially for people that really, maybe they don't have the opportunity to help with a physical routine, right? Maybe they only have the ability to do this through their mind. What are ways that they can cope with stress? What are ways that they could limit stress? And, you know, what could help them in those situations?
Great question. So I think you really have to come at it from a mind body. And if there's any spiritual component that's important to somebody, because what happens when we're stressed, you know, our body goes into that fight, flight, or freeze standpoint. And it actually shuts down our higher level critical thinking functions. Like when you're like in the wild, if somebody was to come after you, you don't need to be thinking complex thoughts. Like you just need to be running.
You're not doing algebra. Right.
You're not doing algebra for sure. So that part of your brain, the critical part, the prefrontal cortex, not to get too technical, actually goes offline for a little bit so that you can just put all of your effort into fighting or flight, you know, or freeze. So that's important because when we don't have access to that part of our brain, we continue to be in that state of stress and we can't see logically some ways that could help us or get us out of it. So, you know, that's in a dysregulated state when we're stressed. It's called dysregulation. What we want to do is regulate our state. So that's in the body. So that's anything like, I mean, simply just like rolling your shoulders back, because when we're stressed, we're really constricted. I always tell people just roll your shoulders back, open that chest area, and take some really big, deep breaths. And what that does is it tells the brain, oh, we must not be in a kind of fight state anymore. We're safe. Because, you know, animals don't stop and breathe and smell flowers when they're under attack. So it just kind of lets the brain know, oh, we're actually safe. Like we can start bringing that prefrontal cortex back online. So I always say, you know, roll those shoulders back, take some breaths, come back to the present moment. Really anything with the five senses, like if you want to, you know, try to smell something that really you like or even eat or drink some water, just to let the brain know that we're safe and now we can start doing some critical thinking.
That's extremely interesting. I have known in my daily life, if I've found it to be in a situation where there's, and I'm not talking about real situations of despair or, you know, feeling like my life is threatened or anything like that, but sure. Even in the workspace, right? Maybe you get put on the spot in a very tense situation, right? And all of a sudden you can't think, right? And you're like,
yes.
Why is my brain not working right now? Yeah. I should be able to come up with a solution like right now, and it's just not happening.
Yeah.
So that's what you're saying, is that your fight or flight response is kicking in, is taking, I've actually never heard that, but thank you for bringing that up. So the prefrontal cortex is going offline, as you put it. You
yes.
can't make those critical thinking scenarios. So in order to be able to get yourself back into that situation, to be able to think and find a solution, roll your shoulders back is what you're saying, right?
Yep.
And take some deep breaths.
Absolutely.
And then potentially you get that prefrontal cortex back. You can start critically thinking and find your way out of the situation you're in.
Yeah, I literally will tell myself that, we're safe. Like, this might be scary. Like, maybe I have to give a big presentation or somebody puts me on the spot. Like, but literally, I'm safe. Like, I'm not going to die from this. And sometimes we do need to remind ourselves of that. Like, public speaking is, like, number two of the most scary things that some people report having to face.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And then over and above that, if something comes up that they weren't prepared for, right, that might create that response, and then they can't yes. think, and then it probably goes downhill from there in some cases, right?
Exactly.
So I've heard of the fight or flight, but that last part, freeze, I haven't normally, you know, heard people pair that together, but now that I'm thinking of it, I think I freeze in the moment. I'm like Scott said,
frozen
your brain
fear,
just
sure.
stops.
Exactly.
And then you're like, why can't I think clearly? Well, it's because that stress is just blocking that from your brain.
So
exactly.
same thing. So if Chelsea freezes up when in a situation, then same thing. She rolls her shoulders back, takes some deep breaths.
Reminds herself that she's safe. Hopefully she's not going to die. And there are some animals like possums or whatever that will freeze and pretend like that's their survival.
Yeah.
So many humans, I'm like that too, Chelsea. Like I freeze when I'm in a stressful situation or I want to flee. I go between the two. I mean, we all can do all three, but my default is usually to freeze as well.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting too, like we said before, you should know yourself and know what you do and be aware, okay, I'm frozen, this is a stressful situation. And if you think about what you just said, like, okay, I'll just roll my shoulders back, take a deep breath. I know a lot of people use like essential oils, like you mentioned, smell can be a calming thing. I love lighting like a relaxation candle, and then I feel like, okay, I'm relaxed.
Exactly. And it's because it's just letting that, and I, you know, people used to tell me these things, but what I thought was powerful is why. And when I realized like, oh, that brings my logical brain back online, even more, gave me more motivation to do those techniques. So I hope that helps your, you know, the listeners, like, oh, why do they tell me to breathe? Oh, because it actually signals the brain to come back, like that we're okay.
Right. Well, we hear to breathe, right? I don't know if I've ever heard why. So thank you for that.
Sure. You're welcome.
So in my personal situation, the stress to me, I used to refer to it, and I still refer to it as the S word. I don't even like to use the word stress or say the word stress, because just saying it sometimes can actually give me anxiety, right? And I just want to remove that stress from my life, right? So to me, stress is a bad word, or it's a negative. Is stress negative all the time, or is there ever a time that stress can be positive or helpful? Obviously, avoiding the topic of fight or flight, where we're literally running for our lives, but normal circumstances, can stress be helpful?
Absolutely. Great question. So it sounds like when you're thinking about stress, it's, you have some negative associations with it. It almost even triggers that response to you.
Right.
So a few things. It's super fascinating. They've done some studies that people who actually think that stress is bad actually have worse stress. So that might be kind of, you're in that category. But they actually did a study where they told people that stress was fine. It was just sort of a neutral thing. They actually over time reported and had less stressful symptoms. So just how you actually think about stress really is important. Like if you really think it's not that big a deal, it might not be that big of a deal.
Oh, interesting.
Wow. That is really good to know.
It's kind of like exercise. Like exercise from a physical level is actually stress.
That's
induced
right.
stress on the body, you know,
yeah.
Putting heavy weights in your arms stresses the muscles so that they, you know, fall apart and then have to grow stronger.
Yeah.
So sometimes I look at, like, you know, when we're in a work situation that gets us out of our comfort zone, it feels stressful, but it's actually a good stress. We're growing from it.
Interesting. The idea of stress, I don't like, but there are times where I know, you know, let's say I'm doing a public speaking or a webinar or something along those lines, right? Or speaking in front of a big group. Sometimes I feel like that additional heightened level of maybe stress makes me sharper because I'm a little bit on a higher level when I'm actually giving that speech because of that anxiety or whatever it is in the back of my mind that's propelling me. Is that something that you tend to see?
Yeah, and that's an example of a good stress, because that adrenaline is actually helping you in that regard. It's, you know, kind of motivating you and it feels good.
Yeah.
What would be the problem is if you were in that state for a very long period of time.
Right.
That's when it would become a problem.
Right. Makes sense.
So I'm kind of interested if stress would change your personality. I know you mentioned short-term stress might not be so bad, but over the long term, it can really do some damage, it sounds like. Can it change someone's personality?
It really can. I mean, and again, this would be kind of an extreme case where someone is chronically stressed, but they'd end up being really pessimistic, kind of negative. Some hopelessness can settle in when someone's chronically stressed. And that actually does change the brain. And this is where they've done brain scans. And they actually see a shrinking of the prefrontal cortex, that logical part of the brain. And then the person's actually more emotional as a result. So, again, this is in extreme situations, but the brain will actually shrink if it's put under that much stress.
Which can't be good for you, I would think.
No.
Yeah.
And this is where a lot of mental illness can show up and people just being, you know, really negative and hopeless throughout their days.
In essence, somebody that had a high stress job over many years could actually affect their long-term mental stability, I guess.
Absolutely. Because they'd be, you know, their poor brain would start, that PFC, that prefrontal cortex we've been talking about, would shrink a little bit. So they would actually be more emotional and not a good way, because their logical part is starting to shut down a little bit.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's kind of scary.
Yeah. It is. And again, I mean, these are extreme things we're talking about, but many of us do have stressful jobs or stressful situations upon us.
Hopefully nobody's actually getting to this point, but if that is a scenario, is that something that sometime that they would actually introduce medications for?
Absolutely. Yeah. Sometimes people really just need a break from, you know, that they need some more chemicals in their brain to help them cope with that. And, you know, I would hope someone would get some therapy and maybe some medication management under that scenario.
Okay. And I'm guessing then that's a situation where all of our five series are kind of too late, right? And they've already exceeded that. They've had years of chronic stress and now really need to get some serious help with medicine or medication.
And what I see you guys doing, which is great, is the prevention, right? Like, without the prevention, this is where it could lead. So the stakes are pretty high.
Yes, I would say you're absolutely right. And we need to go back to what we're talking about and how to avoid that situation altogether, right?
Yeah.
Sounds like you really can change it with how you perceive stress in your mind. Like you said, I'm going to keep thinking that I'm practicing that for myself. Like, this stress is good. And, you know, like a little bit of adrenaline rush is fine. And we all deal with stress at some capacity.
Yes.
In our lives, good or bad.
So is that an opportunity? Is it the power of positive thinking? Is that something that can actually help reduce stress?
Absolutely. And, you know, to Chelsea, your point, it's like, really, it's what you do after the stressful event that matters. Like, do you stay in a stress response, or do you like give that webinar, give that talk, and then resume, you know, some positivity and some good functioning? And because that's what animals do. If they're under attack and everything's okay, they resume, you know, what they were doing without continuing to obsess over it or worry. So that positive thinking after the event and just being proud of yourself and celebrating, getting out of your comfort zone, that will get you out of that chronic stress response.
It's really good.
For people that don't know what stress feels like, how can you tell? We've talked about this in the past, but how, in your opinion, can people tell? Maybe they don't necessarily know because they're not in stressful situations quite as often as others. How can they identify stress and then realize that that they need to take action against it?
Good question. It's typically a visceral response. So most people will feel some sort of tensing up. Some people report like tingling in their legs or thighs, because literally, like, sometimes they're wanting to run.
Yeah.
Some people report like a faint feeling. I'll get that like before a really big talk. Like, I almost feel a little faint or dizzy sensation. I feel a lot of my tension in my shoulders, my stress. My shoulders will get really tense.
Yeah.
Those are the typical sweaty palms. Oh, an increased heart rate is really, really common.
Yeah, makes sense.
Those are all telltale signs of stress.
So does that have anything to do with the fight or flight? I mean, increasing your heartbeat to start the blood pumping into your...
Exactly. It needs to get that blood to, like, to your extremities, like to your thighs, so that you could literally run.
You can take off, right?
It's kind of cool to actually see it, like, in your body, like what happens, like how all this blood flows to the places that, you know, you need to run away or to fight somebody or something. So... again, it's fine in short bursts, but we don't want that or some version of that going on for long periods of time.
Yeah. Okay. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's say that somebody has identified their stress. They have stressful situations. Either they know that something's coming up or they're just in constant stress. Now, I can tell you in past experience, I've had situations where I've had constant stress, and it was in many cases, or at least in mine, for this specific reason, it was financial related, right?
Yeah.
That's something where, you know, if it's something where you're underwater and you just can't get above water, it's going to take some time to get there. It just feels like, you know, you're constantly bombarded, constantly under stress, not trying to, not understanding or knowing how you're going to get above that. What should people do? I mean, aside from the fact that we know that they've got to fix their financial situation, right?
Sure.
How, from a mental standpoint, do they actually get to a point where they can free themselves of the stress so they can actually attack the problem?
Yeah, great question. So again, it's really looking, I always tell people it's not the stressor necessarily itself that's causing the upset or the stress. It's really all of your thoughts and what you're making that stress mean. That is the optional part, because sometimes we can't change the financial situation in that moment or in that week or month. All we can really have power over is how we think about it, what we make it mean about us. And again, the calmer we are and the more level-headed we are, we'll be able to have more access to that logical part of the brain that can maybe help us problem solve it and come up with some good action steps. But if we're in this heightened emotional state, it really blocks that. I tell people, you know, when emotions run high, intelligence runs low.
Yeah. Right.
So if you really have a complex problem, we need that higher level brain, that intelligence, or maybe to get some help from experts to help us see that. But it starts with really looking at our thoughts, what we're making this stressful situation mean about us, about our future. Because a lot of us catastrophize. We think it's never going to get better and, you know, bad things are going to happen.
So true. Right?
And that's all the optional part. That's where your power is. You know, what am I thinking about my financial situation right now?
Yeah. So I have been in that situation. I it's part of, you know, why we're doing this podcast is so people can understand how to avoid financial downfalls and physical downfalls and things of that nature. But when I had, in the financial crisis, the felt like the walls were crumbling, right?
Yes.
And at one point I just had to stand back and say, you know what? This, you know, whatever that is, it's not affecting me today, right? It's not going to kill me today. And somehow I was able to lift that stress, that weight off of my chest. And I actually didn't know how I possibly was able to do it, because it's heavy, right? So, so it does definitely help you. You're able to then combat the problem, right? And look at it with more critical thought. And go after it versus sitting there with that weight on your chest that it feels like a ton of bricks and just not knowing where to turn or what to do next. I certainly have felt that personally. So I definitely understand where you're coming from and why it's so, so important for people to understand that and how to combat it and work your way around it, such as what you're discussing.
Mm-hmm.
Because typically when we're overwhelmed with a problem like that, like a big financial problem, we don't really take action. We're just kind of spinning in our own overwhelm and just obsessing, ruminating, just going it over in our minds without really taking any helpful action. So again, it's like I really need to mitigate and look at what thoughts I can think instead of those overwhelming ones so that I do have access to some critical thinking and problem solving, or sometimes I need to hire an expert because I'm just not seeing it.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Something like, you know, financial stress, you almost feel like you can't do anything about it, like you don't have control over it.
Mm-hmm.
But then once you start getting in that mindset of, okay, you know, let's break this down into little pieces. What can I control? And just doing, like for me, doing something like a little bit at a time will break away that stress just for me, because at the time it seems so overwhelming. Like I don't have control over this. And then it just snowballs into like even more stress.
Exactly. Our brain does not like uncertainty, you know, so that can really cause a great deal of stress. So we can only give it some certainty with our thinking, like, you know, there's a solution to every problem. Sometimes I'll say to myself, or eventually this will work out, or I will find a way to help it. But you're right, like kind of stepping at baby steps instead of looking at the whole mountain of stress. Like, what can I do today to really help the situation? Who can I call? Who, you know, what could I research? Could I do? Really breaking it down into smaller chunks really does help.
I'm interested, with COVID-19 happening right now, how do you position your mind to just cope with that stress? Or what could you tell people, you know, how to just, everyone's uncertain right now, I guess, about the future and what's going to happen. Do you have any tips or best practices people should do right now during this time?
Yeah, I mean, that's so prevalent right now. And a lot of people are asking me that same question. And again, it's like COVID-19 is a circumstance that is out of our control. All we can control is how we're thinking, feeling, and acting in light of it. And it's been interesting too, you know, to flip it a little bit. Like sometimes I'll ask people, what's something good that's come out of this pandemic? Or how has this really helped you in some ways? And it is quite amazing how many things people will tell me are better or different as a result of the pandemic.
Yeah.
So that's super powerful. Like, you know, being more connected with their family or just coming up with new ideas as a result of this. Some people have saved money because they're not going out. They're not traveling.
I was just going to say, you definitely save like gas money, or, you know, when we are working from home.
Yes. but really, it's like, what is in my control? And it's always my mindset, how I'm thinking and feeling about this in every moment. And also not, you know, I think some people are obsessively watching a lot of the media around it. I tell people, pick like one time of day to be informed, whether it's your favorite nightly news or articles that you read, but reading it all day, every day, just puts that brain in a stress response. It's like looking at the predator wherever it is at all times.
Yeah.
It's just not helpful.
That makes a perfect sense.
That's a really good tip. I'm going to be doing that from now on, especially with
once a day.
Yeah. Once a day, limited to that.
I mean, it's important to be informed, but we don't need to be overly informed because that'll just stress us out.
Yeah.
So earlier you had mentioned potentially spiritual, something that could help combat stress or a way to get your mind off of it. Do you have any additional thoughts on you have spiritual or meditation, I guess, is something in that same realm. Is that something that you suggest, or just if people are already spiritual that they use that?
Absolutely. So meditation, you know, there's so many studies of what great benefits it offers. You know, our brain doesn't really have an off switch. Like even at night, there's brain activity, we're dreaming, and, you know, there's still some thoughts going on. Meditation is one of the few off switches. Like it helps your brain power down, gives it a little break.
Yeah.
So I always recommend meditation, and, you know, just really gives that brain a chance to slow down and relax. It's a practice. Like some people, it takes a while for the brain activity to shut down because we're not used to slowing down like that.
Sure. Is it once a day? Is it right before bed? Or when do you tell people to typically try to meditate?
Really anytime. You know, whenever, I just encourage people to make time for it. There's so many great apps now. You know, Headspace is a great one, or Calm, or, you know, guided meditations if you don't feel like just sitting in silence. But I'd say at least once a day, you know, 10 to 20 minutes or more. Because that first 5 minutes is just kind of the brain still going to be buzzing with thought and worry. So it does take a minute for it to start settling into the meditation. Now, if someone is like spiritual, if there's a religious component, you know, that's there, I always encourage that. If there's some prayer or anything that connects them spiritually, can be very therapeutic for people. Mm-hmm. But definitely meditation. I think it's really undervalued and it's really helpful.
So in that same realm, does the amount of blue light have anything to do with that? I know that, that there's a lot of people that suggest we have too much screen time.
Yes.
Does meditation help with that, or is it just turning off the computer?
Yeah, it gives the brain, again, any kind of break. So I think you're getting a double benefit there of a break from the screen time. And even if you're using a app on your phone, like to turn your phone over and do not disturb for all the other notifications. Absolutely. And gives you a break from the screen.
Yeah, nice.
That's really good, especially like for my generation people who have been born with, you know, phones. That's really hard. It is honestly really hard to step away and put the phone down or practice those things. But I think that that's really important, because that's just, you don't think it's stress or, you know, added stress at the time, but over a long period of time, it can just create that kind of stress.
Yeah, I know. I kind of get like when they give you that notification of how many hours you've been on your phone, it's quite alarming sometimes, like, whoa, and you're up, you know, so many percent from last week. And another topic, you know, the phone is really addictive. So it's a lot of like allowing yourself to have the urge to pick up the phone and not do it, which is so hard. I mean, I'm guilty of that myself.
Yeah. Well, so in your professional opinion, are we doing ourselves a disservice with cell phones? I mean, I notice myself, I feel like I'm becoming more ADD, I guess, because now it's like constantly, before, you know, and I'm dating myself, but, you know, I didn't have a smartphone for all of my life, right? So before, right, you picked up a phone when you had to answer the call.
Right.
That's not the case anymore. Now you're looking at your phone constantly, all the time. So is that in some way adding to our stress level?
Absolutely, because we're not getting a break, you know. And I'm really worried about the teenagers, because it's just there's no, you know, I'm dating myself too, but like someone had to call the phone and maybe my mom would answer. Like there were some barriers to entry.
Yeah.
Whereas kids are like sleeping, you know, next to their phones and constantly getting their little notifications. And so I do worry about that. It's sort of 50-50, you know, like there's such great things about the phone.
Very useful.
We can connect with people.
Yeah.
But the worry is we're losing that contemplative part of our brain, which is why even more to do meditation, because we're not in the present moment so much. We're just scrolling.
Wow.
So we're worried that we're going to lose that part of our brain. And for people that didn't grow up with just having dead space in the car or wherever, we're losing some of that.
Yeah. Right. I miss those days sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes.
Right? Like we would go on long car rides to Florida, you know, and this is no iPad, no movies. No. And my parents would be able to look out the window, you know, okay.
Yeah, you used to look at the license plates of other cars and see what state they were from.
Remember all those little car games we did? And But we're losing some of that contemplative part of our brain. So, but meditation can help bring it back. So even more to do that if you're really feeling like you're heavy into your phone or screen time.
So you mentioned a couple apps I think that I've heard of, but I don't think I've ever really practiced meditation. Did you suggest using an app? Or
I think it's a great thing to start if you're a beginner. And they also like they build in some brain hacks like Streaks and different things from the other apps to keep people motivated to do meditation.
Okay.
So, you know, the popular ones are Headspace and Calm. I like Simply Being. It's a free one. So even if you just go on YouTube, there's so much if you just do beginner meditation. I like a little bit of a guided one just to give me some direction. But or you can just sit in silence for 10 minutes and put an alarm on your phone. It's so therapeutic.
Yeah, that is good. Awesome. So let's recap. We had a lot of good information here today. So first and foremost, you can identify whether you have stress or not, because you potentially have a rapid heartbeat. You might have sweaty palms. You might have some chest pain, or not pain, but let's say heavy chest feeling, tingling in, you said, the extremities, potentially in the legs, type of thing, where you feel that blood flowing, right?
Any sort of tension, really, yeah.
Right. And then potentially even, and I don't know if somebody can notice that they're becoming negative or not, but it could affect your personality. And so maybe other people are realizing or noticing that you might be more negative than you had been normally, which could also be a sign of stress, maybe even a longer term or component of stress, right?
Yeah, typically the family will give you some feedback on that, that you were just kind of seeming a little off or down, more down than usual.
Yeah. And then there's, of course, those situations where you're in that panic stress, where all of a sudden you've really lost your critical thinking skills and you're basically ready to run for the hills, right? And in those situations, you're suggesting relax, roll your shoulders back, which is to open the chest a little bit, allow you to get more air in, right? And take some deep breaths and realize that you're not in an imminent danger at that moment. And you can then start thinking again. Mm-hmm. And then you talked about meditation. And you also talked about just finding the mindset that you can calm yourself and get yourself out of that. That's, you know, understand why you're stressed and understand that there's a fix to it, I guess, right?
Yes.
And try to get your mindset back to you're going to not be in that predicament forever, and you're going to find a way out of it.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was a great, great recap on that.
Good. Now, so we talked about the long-term effects, and that could be very, very negative. We don't want that to happen to anybody, right?
Right.
So let's say we've gone through the steps individually. We're really just struggling with it. Can't get our head wrapped around removing that stress. What's the next step?
Yeah, so it would be, you know, hiring a coach like myself or a mentor to, because sometimes we can't see something that we can't see. So we need someone else's brain to really help us find some alternatives.
Yeah.
So, you know, if anyone wanted to work with me, you know, we would really unlock what are some other ways to really think and feel about this situation. And if it's a fixed situation, you know, what else is available to me to think about and then, you know, problem solve a way out of.
Yeah. It's so I'm a big fan, especially of the personal coach and even the, you know, to some degree, the therapy sessions.
Absolutely.
Those that have used that. I've, you know, in the past, of course, like most people, I've been reluctant. And then when I did talk to somebody that was professional in that manner, I mean, I always am a do-it-yourselfer, right? And then I go talk to somebody and things that I would have never thought of in a million years that they're talking about, I'm like, oh my gosh, that makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. Really, I mean, some of the things that you identified today, I mean, that same boat, right? So big proponent, and I agree. I think that's probably a well-sound advice. People should reach out to an expert in the field if they're struggling with that. And get that stress off, get it, and don't be a statistic and be in a situation where you have to go find medicine, hopefully, if you can catch it ahead of time, right?
So, Melanie, if people wanted to get in contact with you or reach you, how would they do that?
Oh, great. So not to promote being on the phone anymore, but on an Instagram, my business is Mind Your Strength, and it's UR Strength. Or just my website, which is my first and last name, melanieschmoyce.com. And yeah, it's real easy to get on my email list. I send like a weekly inspirational newsletter or blog post with tips that people maybe haven't heard of before to really help them feel better.
Yeah, I started getting them and they're great.
Oh, good. Yeah, I'm so glad. I think I do remember seeing that.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm glad.
But I enjoy reading them.
Good.
We have one more question for you.
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay.
So we like wrapping up our podcast by asking you what your favorite healthy recipe would be to share with our listeners.
Ooh, I love it. Okay, so a little backstory. My 11-year-old has been a vegetarian going on 3 years now. Wow. We thought it was going to be a fluke, but she's very committed. So we've been doing more and more vegetarian recipes at our house. So my favorite is this buffalo cauliflower recipe.
Oh, wow.
That I can share with you guys. That's really easy to make and quite tasty. If you like a little hot sauce, you can make it spicier or mild, depending on what you like. So.
And it's depending on when people are listening to this, but right now it's football season. So that's
oh, yeah.
Perfect, yeah, right? That would be perfect.
Perfect football treat.
Buffalo cauliflower. That sounds perfect mm-hmm. right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can't believe you're 11-year-old for 3 years.
Isn't that amazing?
That's awesome.
And she was a meat eater. Like, she was a really good eater. So this was a big, big change for her. And I really admired that about her.
Nice. Yeah.
So, that's awesome. Really awesome.
Yeah, I will share those ingredients with you guys.
Yeah, thanks. So we will also, we'll share that on our website. So thank you for that. We'll also share links to how to contact with you on our website. So people can find Melanie and if they want to reach out and hear more about what Melanie does or any of the things that she talked about today, which all were very, very interesting. You can find that on our website as well. So our website is enzafinancial.com. That's enzafinancial.com. You can find everything that we talked about on there as well. So, Melanie, thank you very much. We very much appreciated you being on the show and really enjoyed the commentary that you provided today.
Yes,
you're welcome. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon. Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise podcast, where we spoke about how to change the stress in your life by using your mind and body. If you'd like more information, please visit our website at enzafinancial.com. That's enzafinancial.com. You can also find Melanie at Mind Your Strength Coaching or visit her website at melanieschmoys.com. Thank you, and we'll see you next time.